In the workplace, let's see, vacation days, sick days, maternity leave, paternity leave, grieving leave. How about we add one more, mental health days? Don't laugh, it's an idea that surveys show was supported by a growing number of employees, albeit with fears about how they'll be perceived. Now, as far as the business owner side is concerned, well, there have been some who have put this idea into use, and others are taking a long, hard look at it. Here to examine the good, the bad, and the still to be determined about the idea of mental health days is business analyst, owner of Seven Stage Advisors, Carl Gould. How are you today, Carl?
I'm doing great, Chris. Doing great.
Carl's website, the number 7stageadvisors.com. We've got that linked at our homepage as well. In your work dealing with businesses, Carl, is this idea of mental health days something you've come across? Is it something that you see on the increase? And how is it being addressed?
Well, you know, it's definitely on the increase, and then there's a number of reasons for that. One, it's finally being identified as a thing. I want to take a mental health day. And if you, I'm just going to take a stab at it. Chris, you're probably a little older than 29, as I am. And for those of us that are older than 29, we just took a sick day. We called it a day off, or we made an excuse, and we just took the day. And we didn't want to admit that we needed a mental health day because there was a stigma around it. And so the good news is that people are more open to share the fact that they need a break. They need a mental health break. That's the good news. Some of the challenges are, you know, you could take advantage of it. It's very nebulous. And how do I know? How do I validate what a mental health day is? You know, if I'm sick and I have 102 fever, I can take that temperature. If I need a mental health day, what does that mean? So there's good and bad to both.
Came across this survey from Breeze, their disability insurance broker. The question was, in the last year, have you taken a mental health day off of work and just to relax, to recharge? 63% of people said yes. And to follow up on what you're saying, too, when taking your mental health day, did you say to your employer what it was for, or did you make up something about sudden illness, doctor's appointment? 56% said, I told them it was for mental health, but 44% said, well, I kind of made it sound a little more acceptable, I guess you'd say, by saying I went to the doctor or something like that. So as you said, there's a perceived stigma. Is that something where HR departments have to start taking a look at to destigmatize this idea?
I think that's a good idea. You want people to be a little bit more open and feel safe to share what's going on. There's no question about that. And that speaks a little bit to the culture of the business. And while that's an HR function, we do have to get, it's a bigger conversation. The ownership and the leadership of the company have to say, hey, we are open to this. It's, you will not be chastised. There'll be no downside for you sharing that you're having these particular challenges.
When you look at the policy, too, I would assume that those who implement it do the same thing as they would with sick leave or any other leaves I had mentioned back in the introduction. There has to be limitations to this whole idea. It just can't be a free-flowing thing, although I did see a survey. I forget the source, unfortunately, but on the average, people are taking around 6 mental health days off per year.
Yeah, look, if there is no... The only boundaries you can put are the number of days you're allowed to take, but there's just simply no way to monitor whether or not it is an actual mental health day or not. I mean, I live in New Jersey, and between Memorial Day and Labor Day, people tend to get a lot more sick or have the need to be out of the office on Mondays and Fridays because we live near the beach. And it's a remarkable how well people feel on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays around here, and how unwell they feel on Mondays and Fridays during the summer, especially on a sunny day. And so it's going to be almost impossible to gauge whether or not somebody actually needs the mental health day or not need it. Where you can put the boundary in is the number of days that you're able to take. Because again, we used to call them PTO, personal time off, or we used to just say, call it a sick day. We're just naming it now, but the only constraint you could really put on is the number of days, paid days.
On the flip side, too, if you have this separate designation, because as you said, I'm sure most people listening right now, too, would say, well, why do this designation? If you see as a business owner or manager that mental health day number highly active, that's going to alert you to a situation you have developing within your employee ranks.
You know, it does, and it's interesting because the pandemic really brought that out. And as much as people said, I want to work remote, I want to work from home, you know, the convenience and efficiency, we're seeing a rise in mental health days as a result of people not socializing the way they normally do, not interacting, not engaging, not collaborating the way the workplace is not only designed but is best for humans. And so, yes, if you're seeing a rise in mental health days, that is a leading indicator that there might be some challenges in how you've set up your office, your environment, and to the extent at which your employees are engaging and socializing with each other.
Our business analyst Carl Gould, owner of Seven Stage Advisors, sevenstageadvisors.com. Find out more about his work, his services on the web. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I think in light, too, of some of the things you pointed out, it's also important to make note, too, that if you take a mental health day and even a sick day, that's probably not the best thing to do is to post photos on your social media of you hugging a beer bong, because that might just show up on your boss's social media feed, too.
Yes, I think a good best practice here would be lay low on a mental health day. If you are going to post on social media and it is you taking a hike or you relaxing or you doing something that would be generally as accepted as the sort of thing that would improve your mental health, going to a yoga class, doing a breathing class, you know, chilling out by the in your backyard, that's one thing. But you're right. Out at a nightclub, doing a beer bong, that sort of thing. While that could, in some, you know, some people could make the argument that, hey, I'm just getting hydrated here. It might, the optics of it just wouldn't be very good.
Now, personally speaking, I was questioning this whole concept of mental health days and doing the research for this segment. It's even something that the Mayo Clinic is addressing through the Mayo Clinic Health Systems. They issued in a recent article, they talk about the reduced feelings of burnout, improved morale and attitude, improved resiliency, and as we just talked about, too, prevention of a mental health crisis in the workplace. And also, too, I mean, I'm sure you've seen this, Carl, a happy worker is a productive worker.
No question. And here's one of the most ironic examples of this, but really illustrates what's going on here. And we have a client that's an accounting firm, and accountants are by and large analytical in nature, and they're very siloed out. They work in their own office, and they have their book of business, and they interact a little bit on the phone, but they very much go to their office, do their thing. When they're done, go home, and they about as isolated as an employee you would find. And during the pandemic, when they were not able to come into work and they worked from home, they found that they had a lot of mental health issues with their employees. And their conclusion was, you know, just the simple act of getting up, getting ready, going to the office, being in that routine, and even the small interactions you have throughout the course of the day are still valuable.
Just to wrap up here, as far as Seven Stage Advisors, obviously I've referenced you as being a business analyst. What are some of the services that you provide, and do you have special focuses, and is this an increasing focus of your business now?
So it's very much front and center because of the change in how we do business right now and the new normal of workplace environment. Seven Stage Advisors is known as a growth advisory, where we work with companies that are looking to double their business or grow at a significant rate. And we look at all aspects of the business, which would include strategy, finance, operations, HR, and business development. So we look at those elements and say, where could we optimize your business from a growth or even a process standpoint?
So this is something as a business owner, business manager, that you've been contemplating thinking about but don't seem to have the guidance. Number seven, stageadvisors.com. That sounds like a great starting point for you to take that step that you've been thinking about. We've been joined by business analyst, owner of Seven Stage Advisors, Carl Gould. Carl, thanks for enlightening us, and take a mental health day.
I will definitely do that. Thank you, Chris.